As most of our listeners know, we're an Austrian / Mises Rothbard friendly show. And we have the newly elected president of the Mises Institute. As most of you know, Mises Institute is an educational organization dedicated to promoting Austrian economics, freedom, and peace. Jeff previously worked as a longtime advisor and chief of staff of Congressman Ron Paul, and he's also formerly a tax attorney for high net worth individuals, partnerships, and corporations. So, Jeff, welcome to our show.
Thanks very much, gentlemen.
First of all, congratulations on your new position. Mises organization has done a lot for us. It's done a lot for me personally. I had the opportunity to meet and greet and party a little bit with Murray Rothbard back in the day. And I cannot tell you how appreciative I am of all the great publishing work that you all have done there. I'm an avid buyer of all your e-products, and, you know, keep up the great work.
Well, we certainly will.
You know, I have to ask you this. Jeff, have you been watching this new show on Netflix called House of Cards?
You know, I did see one season of it, and as you know, I'm sure, a lot of Netflix-driven decisions are based on spouse preferences, if you know what I'm saying. But what I hate about House of Cards is a couple things. Is first of all, is that it sort of glamorizes, in a, sort of like The Sopranos almost, it sort of glamorizes DC, when in reality, DC is full of the dullest, least imaginative people you could imagine. I mean, they're corrupt, but they're stupid and slow-witted.
So they're stupid, slow-witted, and corrupt.
Right, and they're also not attractive like the wife of Kevin Spacey. I can't remember her character name.
Really?
You know, Washington, D.C. is Hollywood for ugly people, right?
Well, there goes my political career. I guess I'm not going to D.C.
Well, maybe there's a chance for me. You know, at any rate, I think it's absolutely when I first discovered it, I'm a binge watcher, so I went through all 17 seasons of season one. And last weekend, they released season two, and I gobbled it up in a couple of days. So, you know, as my Jewish friends say, Jeff, if you're going to eat pig, eat a lot of it. You know, I'm kind of one of those people. And I just love the cunning, deception, murder, the king of crony capitalism on steroids. I mean, I thought Mises organization would be all over that.
Well, if it's making government look foolish, then I guess I'm all for it.
Well, it's, you know, when you're killing your political allies, it's the darkest. But I got the feeling that Washington's always dark like this, that this is a very, very dangerous place. But let's talk about Austrian economics. Jeff, why did you take this position? You could have gone back into private practice and helped wealthy one percenters not send more money to D.C. That would have been a very patriotic thing to do. What inspired you to take this position with Mises.org?
You know, it's really strange. I really had no intention after Ron retired from Congress. I was going to go back into tax, but I've gotten to know Lou Rockwell over the last 10 years. And, you know, Lou is our founder. He's the chairman of our board, but he's just reached a point where he wants to sort of dial back in his personal life on more of the day-to-day stuff. And, so he sort of called me, and it just, one of those things that developed out of the blue. But I mean, that being said, we all hope to have a job where we wake up in the morning and we're eager and excited and ready to throw ourselves into it. So, you know, this is very much a dream job for me.
Well, I think the ability to walk in the shoes of Rothbard, Mises, Hayek, Henry Hazlitt, my heavens, and have the opportunity to publish and educate the public on the evils of socialism and the moral responsibility of freedom, That's a lot better than, you know, practicing tax law. You made a good choice.
Yeah, certainly more interesting. I'll give you that.
Jeff, let me ask you, you worked with Ron Paul a bit, and back for the last election, you know, obviously I had my fingers crossed. I threw my vote out there, and I was hoping to make some major change, of course, falling, you know, significantly short of reaching that presidential objective. In the halls of Congress at this point, is there anybody that, from your perspective, is following in his footsteps other than maybe Rand Paul? It just strikes me as an American, as I'm a bit flustered that I have choice between garbage and junk when regards to elections and figuring out who's going to kind of steer this country down the right path. They all seem to be in the pockets of the corporations and vice versa, and it's all going to go down this spending path, which it seems to me fiscal responsibility would say, let's cut back that. Let's figure out where we're spending too much money. Of course, it's on them where the big spending is. Who out there is kind of championing a bit of a Austrian perspective in the halls of Congress?
Well, you know, nobody's close to Ron. There are some friends of his in Congress who are sympathetic and who are perhaps 50 or 75 or 80% of the way along when it comes to, you know, being fully Austrian in one's outlook, including believing in commodity money as opposed to central bank money. You know, certainly there's people like Thomas Massey from Kentucky. There's people like Justin Amash from Michigan who you could say are liberty-minded. But, you know, it's awfully tough. I mean, Ron viewed his role as educational, and I mean, in many ways, members of Congress, the whole system is so far around the bend at this point mm-hmm. that there's not a lot they can do pragmatically because the political will just isn't there. The American people understand. The American people feel the malady, but they don't really understand the diagnosis of the cure.
Right. I think that's a question that we all need to figure out. What is the cure for it? I mean, I think the vast majority of people, if you were to go out and do a survey, say, do you trust your government? Are you frustrated with it? 99% of the people are going to go, yeah, actually, you know, I am frustrated with it. But it doesn't seem like there is a feasible solution. I mean, other than some, I don't know, I mean, what could you suffice as a solution to get rid of all this problem, Fed Reserve and crony capitalism, and finally get us back on track as a country?
Well, it might take a calamitous event. It might take the collapse of the dollar. I certainly hope it doesn't. And as you too well know, you know, crises tend to lead to less liberty, not more. If you look at periods in history in America or certainly in Europe, the 20th century, you know, vacuums, currency collapses, economic collapses, you know, tend to lead to war and instability and more government. But that being said, I think that there is a growing recognition around the world about what's going on with the dollar and that it's a bad deal for the world to have this thing, this fiat currency as the world's reserve currency. And I think you can see that. And I think that, you know, you're seeing that in a variety of ways that, you know, the cracks in the system are there, and I think that that there's always a way. In other words, liberty always manages to seep through the cracks. And I would also rush to say that we shouldn't, you know, feel too sorry for ourselves simply because there are many, many periods in U.S. history that were much darker than this. And you know, so I think we should wake up with a smile on our face and just get to work.
Sure, absolutely. I think without a doubt, we definitely have more freedoms and liberties than most countries around the world, although we see so much government intervention and steps taking to take away some of those liberties and freedoms out there. Of course, I'm probably complaining a little bit too much, but certainly I'd much rather see our money, our system built in a manner that would support growth, support, you know, jobs, et cetera, in a different way than we're seeing right now, which seems to be just funneling money away from the main population and putting in the money in the pockets of the fat cats. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. We'll talk about some more Austrian School of Economics. And our guest today is Jeff Deiss from the Mises Institute. We were talking about the Austrian School of Economics. I was kind of concerned with so many problems going on in Capitol Hill and the way our government has been running. And John, your big issue, or one of many of your big issues, is the Fed.
Well, you know, Ron Paul wrote a book called, I think it was called In the Fed. Rothbard, Mises, a lot of Austrian scholars have advocated that we should end the Fed, that there should be competition for the monetary unit. I don't think we're going to end the Fed in my lifetime, or maybe we will in your lifetime if things get bad enough, but there's such entrenched interests there. But Hayek had an idea, if I recall, Jeff, which was that we should change the legal tender laws so that there are competing currencies, that the free market could create currency units and let the market determine which currency unit they'd like to accept as a medium of exchange, a store of value, and a unit of trade. What do you think about the possible prospects of getting an environment where we could see in a reasonable period of time a change in the legal tender laws to make that happen?
Well, it's a great idea, and it's something that Ron championed. I mean, we have literally legal tender laws that on the books that will require the government to put people in cages in the U.S. if they try to conduct business in something other than dollars. But Mises wrote about this. What he termed the crack-up boom is when people finally start to realize what's happening with the currency, and they rush to go out and buy tangible assets.
Yes.
and get rid of the dollars that they hold. So the question becomes, fearing that possibility, what can you do or what could be done politically or personally in the interim, prior to that happening? Well, one way would be to diversify yourself out of dollars. And you're seeing cryptocurrencies. People are trying to do this. Mm-hmm. People are trying to do this with gold and silver, time-honored mediums of exchange.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, if the Fed is so great, and if Alan Greenspan was correct that the Fed can effectively sort of mimic a gold standard, and if the Fed creates stability and it maintains the purchasing power of our dollar, then what's the fear? What's the harm in just saying, okay, fine, guys, have the Fed, have the dollar, and because you're right, and because QE is not inflationary as you insist. Then just let the rest of us use something else, okay? And all of you 90% who really believe in the wisdom of our new esteemed leader, Miss Yellen, knock yourselves out. But, of course, they'll never do that because the U.S. dollar is backed now entirely by fiat. And at this point, what fiat means is brute force. In other words, the implied sort of military capability of the U.S. government abroad and the implied police authority of the U.S. government at home. So, I'm all for competing currencies, and if the government doesn't legalize them, then we're going to have a black market. It's that simple.
Well, we saw this, what happened with Bitcoin. Bitcoin comes out with a very innovative solution. It's immediately attacked by government. I find their PR campaign ridiculous, talking about Bitcoin is going to be used by drug dealers and the dark economies, when in fact the number one currency du jour for the black markets and drug dealers is the $100 Federal Reserve note. So, it would take a yeoman's job for Bitcoin to catch up with that disaster. So I don't see what they're worried about. I mean, I'll tell you what I think they're worried about. They're worried about the power of the freedom of markets. They're worried about the power that they worked so hard since Roosevelt to install government control, central planning in every aspect of our life. And, the common denominator of freedom is your currency unit. You choose to make settlement for the ability to actors to exchange goods and services. So I'm convinced they don't want anything to do with it, and we'll fight it tooth and nail. But, it might take something like the Middle East. I remember we have an office in Dubai, and they were thinking about creating a currency unit, perhaps indexing it to the price of oil, might even be convertible into oil for good delivery on an organized exchange. And we could have some maverick region of the world come up and create a new currency that maybe the dollar would have to address.
Well, I'd rather see that than have the IMF create a new global currency involving, either some sort of special drawing rights.
Yeah, SDRs.
Or some amalgamation of a basket of currencies, simply because I want to see currency, developed by the market. I don't want to see it developed by global government. But it's coming. In some way, shape, or form, the dollar is going to lose its status.
By the way, there was some libertarian, I think he was out in the Midwest, that created a gold coin with Ron Paul's image on it. Do you remember that?
And yeah,
I do. This guy, his inventory was confiscated. How did that finally resolve, by the way? I kind of lost track of that.
The federal government has a very rich sense of irony. They charged this guy with counterfeiting. Okay?
Counterfeiting?
Yeah.
Well,
so,
a Ron Paul medallion is counterfeiting?
Well, he's creating real gold, real money. And they're the ones pumping out the fake stuff. So
well,
it's quite a thing. But it's quite a terrible story. Because
who would want the competition?
Yeah, I mean, he's not a young guy, and they came along and tried and convicted him. I think he's currently out pending appeal. out of prison when I say out. But it's, you know, the idea that somebody doesn't have a right. I think, you know, people, the federal government will let people create, you know, gold coins. But I think what his undoing was that he used the term dollar on the coin.
Oh, yeah, well, but he also had, if I recall, printed in Ron, we trust. Oh, man, that's stunning. But they confiscated his inventory. Geez, if we could get a hold of some of those coins, they're probably going to be a numismatic collectible if we could ever get a hold of them.
We might have to get into some of those, John. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. I've actually been trying to find the actual physical Bitcoins. Hopefully, I'll show some of those to you on the screen. Maybe we'll talk more about Bitcoins when we come back after a short break. Our guest is Jeff Deese, president of the Mises Institute. A lot of resources that John brings up, a lot of great articles and things are at the Mises.org website, so you can check that out. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit deeper into the Austrian School of Economics, and John already talked about the End of Fed, a book by Ron Paul. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that as well. Jeff, there's a lot of great resources out there. I know that John is always referring people to the Mises.org website. There's a ton of great articles and a plethora of books out there. One thing I definitely wanted to get a little bit of attention out there for was the Austrian Economics Research Conference. It's happening March 20th through 22nd. Want to tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah, certainly. We try as best we can to get to as many, not just high school and undergraduate kids, but also grad students, and teach them what we consider correct economics before they're launched out into the world with Keynesian nonsense filling their heads. So, you know, one of the reasons people give us money is because we have a lot of educational programs. And so we have graduate students come here for a week to our physical campus in Auburn. And they present the kind of papers that never get accepted or considered in the mainstream economics journals because they're you know, purely Austrian. So it's something where we're trying to get people jobs in academia. We're trying to get, you know, Austrians out into the business world, into, you know, whatever world, even if some of our students, you know, later on become a, you know, stay-at-home mom, whatever it might be. You know, you can't learn this stuff and write about this stuff in your typical bricks and mortar college. So young people come here and do it.
That's great, and I can't recommend it high enough. Also, many of your events, if you can't get to Auburn, many of the Mises events of this nature stream live over the web. Are you planning on streaming this one over the web as well?
Yeah, and we're going to have a couple great keynote speeches this time. We're going to have Judge Andrew Napolitano from, you know, Fox News, Fox Business analyst. And we're also going to have Jim Grant.
Yeah,
from
I saw
Grant's
that.
Grant's Interest Rate Observer.
Very solid guy.
Yeah, is going to address as well. It will stream live. So the dates and times are prominent on our website at Mises.org.
Well, you guys must sit around and talk about what is your all's thumbnail version of what's Janet Yellen going to be like? Is it just going to be more of the same, or is it just, you know, is she going to be a little more hawkish, a little more dovish, more intervention, less intervention? What do you feel?
Well, it's strange. I mean, Greenspan was viewed as a free market guy, especially by the left. You know, that's obviously not our perspective, and then Bernanke comes along, and this is a guy who, from our perspective, wrote an absolutely awful dissertation that completely misdiagnosed the Great Depression and its causes and its ultimate solution, if you want to call it that.
And he's so proud of it.
Yeah, I mean, this and his notion of almost unlimited money, and then Yellen comes along, and I mean, she is a pure. There's no even pretense that she's sort of a free market oriented person. I mean, she studied under Stiglitz. She's pure Keynesian in her DNA.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't want to be in her shoes because there's no end game to what she's doing.
Yeah.
And she's inherited an awful mess. And it's by every indication she's given to date, she is more dovish and less hawkish than Bernanke on maintaining QE.
And she takes office with the biggest balance sheet in the history of the Fed as a percent of our GDP, going from, what, $400 billion to almost $4 trillion. It's going to be a fun ride.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, look, we want to thank you very much for being our guest today. We will encourage all of our listeners to go to Mises.org, get engaged with that website, become a member. They're providing an incredible, valuable educational service to the public, the global public. This is one of the most heavily trafficked economics website in the world, if not number one. Thank you so much, Jeff, for spending your time and sharing your wisdom with us, and good luck. I know the Institute needs your leadership to go to the next level.
Thanks very much, gentlemen.
Take care. Bye-bye.